Our reading this morning is taken from Romans. Again, we're still doing Romans. Romans chapter 3, reading from verses 21 to 26, a righteousness from God revealed by faith. But now a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. God, our Father, we do thank you for Paul this morning. Thank you for the preparation he's put in for this. And I just pray, Lord, that you will use him. You will speak into him and through him and touch our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everybody. I was a bit concerned at 10 to. There were only about five people here, but obviously the bus has arrived now, so that's great. Many years ago, Sheila and I were working with young people, and one Saturday, I think it was, we were in Wesley Schoolroom in the middle of town, taking a seminar for a group of youngsters, probably under 16s, about evangelism. And quite near to the beginning of the talk, I said, when you want to share to somebody who isn't a Christian about Jesus, there are four steps that you need to take. And the first of them you will find in Romans and chapter 3 and verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And their faces fell. And they had a little think about it. And one of the guys put his hand up. He was a thin, small guy, very insignificant looking, but he wasn't afraid to speak out. And he said, do you not think that for people who aren't Christian, that's going to frighten them off? Surely we should be telling them, God loves you. And that changed my whole perception of evangelism. That's the starting point. God loves us. So bear that in mind as we begin this particular passage in Romans 3. Because it's about righteousness by faith. In the first two chapters of this theological handbook, which Paul wrote to the church at Rome, it all sounded quite desperate and almost negative. Thank heavens that our preachers from the last 2 weeks have read the whole of the book. And we have looked at the wrath of God against depravity of human beings and reminded ourselves of God's grace and his love for us, shown particularly through Jesus, his Son. A passage this morning marks a demarcation, a change of direction. And Paul often does this by using prepositions. Therefore is his favourite one in Romans, or sometimes he uses a question. He says maybe, what shall we say then? Or just, what then? Here, he uses two words, but now. And you know that something has changed. Something is going to be different as we read through this particular passage. So verse 21 goes on. A righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known. There's been a dramatic change. In the Old Testament, God's people got by with the law. That was what God had prescribed for the forgiveness of sins and for life going on. But now it's all changed, and the law and the prophets actually testify about this change. They prophesy what's going to happen. They predict what's going to happen. So, for example, in Habakkuk 2 and verse 4, it tells us that the righteous man will live by his faith, or the righteous woman will live by her faith. In this passage, verse 22 explains it in one sentence. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. So the righteousness, the change that is going to happen to us, it comes through God, but it comes through us having faith in Jesus Christ, and it happens to all who believe. Now, sometimes God reveals complicated concepts and theology in very simplistic ways. I think back to a congregation we had in Anston, just outside Sheffield. It met in a community centre, and there were quite long rows as opposed to our short rows here. And on the back row used to sit three dear old ladies. I can just picture them today. And on Trinity Sunday, I decided I would explain to everybody what Trinity was about. So I started off, I think you might know about the Trinity. It's quite a different concept, isn't it? And these three ladies looked at each other. And I said to them, is there some problem? And in their broad Yorkshire accent, one of them told me, no, no problem at all. We've been told Trinity, Father, Son and Holy Ghost. That's what we used to call him. Simple. Thank you, Lord. Conversely, there are in the Bible some very deep passages which are packed with meaning and theology. And I don't think there's another six verses in the Bible which are more packed with theology than Romans 3, 21 to 26 that we read today. The key theme, the key theme of the whole of Romans is the righteousness of God. And I want us this morning to try and unpack this passage a little bit and try and understand some of the deep theological truths and words and ideas which St. Paul uses. So we look, first of all, at the state of us, secondly, at the action of Christ, and finally, the effect on us. Now notice that's us, not you dot s dot. Okay? I can't get into the state of the United States. So first of all, the state of us. It's summed up very well in verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And Paul prefaces it with these words, there is no difference. And looking at the earlier parts of chapter 3, he's been talking about the difference between Jews and Gentiles. However, since in those days there were only Jews and Gentiles, he is in fact talking about the whole of the world. And he's talking about the whole of the world today. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we are all in the same situation, whether we're Jews or Gentiles or whatever we are. We are sinful, we are falling away, we're falling way, way short of God's golden standard. In chapter 1, if you remember a couple of weeks ago, and in some of his other letters, Paul lists some of the depravity that he is aware of in the Greco-Roman world of his day. But it's also there, he says, amongst the Jewish communities. And it's also there among the early Christian communities. He quotes from the Old Testament. One of the Psalms, Psalm 14, says this, all have turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is no one who is good, not even one. Now, as we read through St. Paul's lists of depravity, we will hopefully be able to say to ourselves, well, I haven't done anything like that. I've never done any of that stuff at all. But if we, as totally regenerate, Bible-believing Christian followers, think back through even the last week, I wonder if there is one of us that can say, I haven't done anything wrong this week. I haven't said anything wrong this week. I haven't thought anything wrong this week. And of course, I've done all of the things that God wanted me to do. Now, none of us are in the deepest minds of depravity of the suicide bomber, or the child molester, or the rapist, or the malicious murderer. Some of us may be at the top of Rosebery Topping in spiritual terms, or even in the foothills of the Himalayas. But no human being can touch the stars, which is the perfection of our Lord and Master. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Then comes one of those magical prepositions to introduce verse 24. And so we come to the action of Christ. And are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that comes by Jesus Christ. Notice it comes freely. It is a gift from God to us. And it comes through Jesus Christ. I wonder if anybody's done the Alpha course here. Anybody? Yep, quite a few people. Well, you will be able to remember Nicky Gumbel speaking on the session, Why Did Jesus Die? And he explains some of these deep theological ideas that explain what happened when Jesus died upon the cross and he rose from the dead 3 days later. I think you might have read John Stott's commentary on Romans, because it's in there as well in similar terms. So let's look at the first two of these ideas. Justification is a term from the law courts. It's the opposite of condemnation, where when a criminal is convicted of a crime, he's condemned and given a sentence which is fitting as punishment for what he has done. Now note that justification is the opposite of it, but it is different from pardon, because you only need a pardon if you've done something wrong, don't you? But justification involves God making us just as if we never sinned. Isn't that a good way of explaining it? Justification is being made by God just as if we never sinned. In terms which those of us who are over 70 will understand, the slate is wiped clean. Yep, for those of you who are a bit younger than that, it's like your disc has been wiped. But you get the idea. It's gone. Nothing there at all. Jesus Christ has wiped us clean. Justification is given to us as a gift. It's free. In fact, there is no way that we can earn it by ourselves. It is given to us by God's grace. And somebody has said God's grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Say that with me. God's riches at Christ's expense. Again, God's riches at Christ's expense. It's given to us through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. Now, if justification is a term from the law courts, redemption comes from the marketplace. That's not a very good picture, is it? I think you might recognise it as an Knaresborough market, and it looks rather busy in there. Now, I want you to imagine back, well, hundreds of years to a marketplace where there would be stalls selling fruit and produce and all sorts of stuff. But they would also be selling people. They would be selling slaves. And the idea of redemption comes from this idea that a person is on sale as a slave. And a rich person comes and he offers I don't know what it might be, 50 sovereigns for this particular slave. And the slave owner says, yes, I agree to that. They shake hands to it, and the slave comes on, walks away with the rich person. The rich person turns to the slave and says, now you are free. You can go. Can you imagine the joy that there would be on the face of that person? Well, that is what God has done for you and me through Jesus Christ. He has redeemed us. We are now free by what he has done. Paul continues in verse 25. God presented Jesus, as a sacrifice of atonement. Another one of those quite long words and deep words. But his readers would have been well familiar with sacrifices and the ritual of atonement from the Old Testament and from their daily practice in the temple. On one day in each year, the Day of Atonement, the Jewish high priest dealt with the sins of the people. He did this by taking two goats, by laying his hands on them, and praying to God for the forgiveness of the people. He prayed for the forgiveness of all the sins that had been committed in the last year of all the people. One goat was then slain and sacrificed on the altar of the temple. The other, the scapegoat, remember that term, was driven out into the desert, far from the sight of the people. And appeasement was made for the sin for another year. Jesus' blood was shed upon the cross as the sacrifice of atonement for the sins of all people for all time. The writer of the Hebrews goes to some lengths in chapter 9 and chapter 10 to clarify the differences. So talking about the animal sacrifice, he says, but those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins, because it's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Now you and I can see that, can't we? It's ridiculous that sacrificing an animal could take away your sins and my sins. He goes on to talk about Jesus' sacrifice, and he says, but when this priest, Jesus, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right side of God, the right hand of God. By one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. That's you and me. By Christ's one action upon the cross, you and I are made righteous and holy. So verse 25 and verse 26 talk a little bit about God's justice. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus Christ. So he's doing both these things. He's being just and he is justifying. Do you remember the Easter hymn that we used to sing? There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. There is a green hill far away. And the phenomenal, unbelievable truth is that he is the one who is just and the one who justifies those who have faith in him. So we come to the third part, the effect on us. Well, the effect on us is that as we have faith and put our trust in Jesus Christ, we are made right with God. We are no longer sinful. We are righteous. Jesus on the cross dealt with our sin. He dealt with all sin for all time. And that includes your sin and my sin. He took it to hell. He left it there when he rose from the dead on Easter morning. And that's why we can shout in exultation. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. That wasn't bad. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Yes, we still make mistakes. The difference is that we are righteous, made so by Jesus. It's as if the sin cannot penetrate our spirits because God's Holy Spirit is there. He lives there. And as we ask our Saviour to forgive us, he makes us as white as snow by the action of his purifying blood. St. John, in his first letter, puts it like this. He says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus purifies us from all sin." Now, in Greek, evidently, there is a continuous sense. And that last little bit is continuous. Jesus purifies us from all sin. Purifies us, goes on purifying us from all sin. And St. Paul, at the beginning of Romans 8, which we'll be looking at in a couple of weeks' time, says, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ." It sounds pretty good to me, does it to you? Good. Do you have faith in Jesus Christ? Then you are justified. You have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb of God. You are forgiven. And you are a son and a daughter of the living God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.